from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. This hour, we focus on California's Latino population, now confirmed as the largest ethnic group in the state. What does that mean for us socially, politically, economically, and culturally? We'll explore it in our first half hour. Then we turn to a controversy in the heart of San Francisco's Latino community, a mural in the Mission that has been vandalized four times. It depicts LGBT Latinos, and police are investigating the defacements as hate crimes. We'll consider why this keeps happening and what to do about it in the second half of this hour on California's Latino population. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. It is official. Latinos are the largest ethnic group in California. New numbers out from the Census Bureau confirmed what pretty much everyone saw coming. Latinos edged out whites last year to take the top spot. Now that this has happened, what happens next? In this half hour of Forum, we'll consider how California's Latino plurality might affect living here, working here, and voting here. Joining us now by phone is Stanford political science professor Gary Segura. He chairs Stanford's Department of Chicano, Chicana, and Latino-Latina Studies, and he is the co-founder and principal of the polling research firm Latino Decisions. Professor Segura, good morning.
I'm not the chair of Chicano Studies anymore. Oh. My apologies.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Well, the past chair of Chicano Studies, let's say that. Also joining us on the line is Hector Barajas. He is a Republican consultant, and hopefully I will get this attribution right, and the co-founder of Grow Elect, an organization that helps Latino GOP candidates win office in California. Hector, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be on with you, Joshua, and Professor Segura.
Professor Segura, let me start with you. I think people have a ton of assumptions about California's Latino population, if not here in the state, then certainly nationwide. There are lots and lots of assumptions. I think people kind of presume they know what this population is, what it looks like. Tell me one thing about California's Latino population that might surprise people or might seem counterintuitive. What do you think people most likely would not suspect?
Most people wouldn't suspect that most of the Latino population growth in California comes from live births, not from immigration.
Elaborate on that a bit. Is that, how broad is that disparity? Is it by far or is it just barely?
Well, actually, it's pretty large, and in fact, it's become nationwide. So for about the last 20 years, Latino population growth, a larger share of that has been attributable to live births than to immigration. And since the recession in 2008, the estimation is that the net immigration at the southern border is approximately zero. That's the number of people coming in and the number of people leaving is about the same. More importantly, what that means is that 93% of Latinos under the age of 18 are citizens of the United States.
Gary, talk about the Bay Area's Latino residents. As I understand it, this is not one of the regions of California where this population is particularly booming compared to other parts of the state. Is that right?
Well, I think that's also a little bit of a myth. The California Latino population is booming everywhere. And if the Bay Area were located in any other state, we'd say this is a huge Latino population center. The reason we don't see it that way in California is that the Los Angeles Basin is home to the largest Spanish-speaking population on Earth outside of Mexico City. It's a huge Latino population. But San Jose is a super high concentration of Latino residents. There are Latino residents all up and down the peninsula. There's a large Latino population in Oakland. Indeed, from Vacaville in the north to Gilroy in the south and everywhere in between, there's no part of the Bay Area that doesn't have a substantial Latino population.
So really, it's just kind of a matter, it seems like, of California being such a strong hub for the Latino population growth that maybe the Bay Area might not seem like it's a center, but really on a nationwide scope, it really is quite strong population-wise.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I imagine that affects the political landscape here? I mean, the Bay Area's Latino population in terms of a voting electorate, I don't want to say voting block, but a voting population, I imagine, has different impact, expressed itself differently than, say, the populations in the Central Valley or in the Los Angeles area.
Sure. So I would say that the biggest effect of Latino population growth is actually going to be in the Central Valley, not so much in the Bay Area. And I say that because the Bay Area was already a very Democratic region. So Latinos are identifying as Democrats at about two-thirds to three-quarters in terms of their voting behavior. That seems very high, but in the Bay Area and actually in L.A. County as well, you were already in a heavily Democratic region. The place where a Latino population growth partisan impact will be the greatest is in the Central Valley, which is what has historically been a Republican stronghold, and is a place where there's several congressional districts, for example, where Republicans hold the seat, but they hold it by the slimmest of margins, and Latino population growth could tip those congressional districts over the course of time. But the Bay Area has been pretty liberal for a long time.
So it's really in the Central Valley where we're talking about political shifts rather than merely political growth, right?
I think the Central Valley and also the Central Coast, in the areas south of Monterey, these are places that have historically been Republican strongholds, but that Latino populations have been growing.
Hector Barajas, let me come to you as it relates to politics, particularly Republican politics, and of course another assumption, which there seems to be some evidence for in the numbers, this assumption that Latinos vote very heavily democratically in California by and large as well as nationwide, but because the GOP supposedly has conflicts with the Latino community on issues like immigration, which has definitely become an issue in the past, how accurate or inaccurate do you think that is in terms of why the GOP is actually struggling with Latinos in California?
You know, I think it goes twofold. You are right, Joshua. It does deal a lot with immigration. I believe it started out with Proposition 187, which was 19, 20 years ago, in where there was a clear definition by Latinos, you know, where they felt as though Proposition 187 and Governor Wilson, along with the Republican Party, seemed to be going after them and blaming them for the ills of this state. And what's happened since that period of time, you've got 20 years, but you still have two to three generations who have lived through that. I mean, I remember, you know, being a kid and, you know, still worried whether my parents were going to deport or not, but yet they were residents of this country and had their green cards. And so you've got people who've kind of grown up with that fear. You still have the issues of immigration, which still permeate. And at the same time, the second part is you've got a Republican Party that has been really absent in a lot of these different communities. Now, they've done a little bit of programs here and there, but the problem is that all these programs start and end with the election cycle. And so we usually see these programs starting 5 months, 4 months before an election cycle. The day after the election, everyone kind of packs up and leaves, and then we see it all over again another 4 months before the election cycle. And so this constant start and stop has really not provided a good messaging for the Republican Party, in addition all the issues of immigration. And at the same time, you've got, you know, the National Party with their fights, whether it's on health care, whether it's a discussion on the minimum wage, you know, all those things kind of permeate back here in California.
Hector, I have more questions for you, but I do want to remind everybody we're discussing California's growing Latino population with GOP consultant Hector Barajas and Stanford professor Gary Segura. We'd like to hear from you, too. What do you make of this cultural shift? Please join the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Email us. The address is forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. Hector Barajas, I imagine that based on what you just said, that your work on Grow Elect comes in and finds a real void, a real vacuum between the election cycles. And I'm sure that for someone like you, there's plenty of work to be done from election to election.
There is a lot of work, and a bit of advice I always got from my mom was, you know, it's better to be at the table than trying to bang your way in. And so, you know, having worked for the Republican Party, not only as their communications director, but also in the state Senate as a communications director for the caucus, you know, I've been able to see firsthand, you know, the recruitment process, trying to get candidates to run for statewide office or even, you know, state assembly, state Senate. and they go out and they recruit Hispanic or African American, Asian American, and say, okay, great, look, we're showing diversity, we're going to run for office. The biggest problem is these individuals that are running for state office have never realized how to put a fundraising program together, how to go out and run a meeting, in government. And so what we've done with Grow Elect over the last year and a half has been to identify, train, and run for office Latinos and Latinas across California. In about a year and a half, we now have 93 elected into office, and that is everything from school board, water board, city council, mayors, and so forth. And part of the reason is we realize that ambition will take care of itself. There will be individuals who are on school board now, who may want to run for city council, mayor, and maybe for some state office, but we realize that it is an 8 to 10 year program, and we've got to start down at the local level. Let them be their leaders and their voice in that local level,
right,
and they will rise up. Now, to add to Professor Segura, we got to remember that in California, 53.5% of all kids happen to be Latino. In addition, we need to look at this demographic, which is very important. Univision in Los Angeles is the number one TV station, regardless of language, across the United States. And that's, as Professor Segura noted, it has a very large Latino population. And for the Republican Party, this is going to be an essential, because politics is all about an addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division, and that's how you end up winning races.
You know what, Hector, I'm glad you brought that up, and Professor Segura, talk about that for a minute. I mean, I'm from the Miami area where, Univision, or Univision, as I'm used to calling it, has a very big hub, and I am used to Univision and Telemundo being the dominant stations in the market and everyone else just kind of having to race along behind them. And I think that catches a lot of people by surprise, because only now are we beginning to feel the crossover effect in the last, say, 10 years in earnest in the media between English language media and Spanish language people and Spanish language media and people whose media is in Spanglish, a little blend of both. Talk about that blending in California. I imagine it happened here way before the rest of the country felt it. What is the next wave that we're going to be feeling here that the country will notice later?
It did happen here, and I agree 100% with basically everything Hector had to say, that KMAX is the number one rated station in Los Angeles and has been for a long time. And the observation you had about Univision in Miami is now true nationwide, and it really illustrates the age difference in the age demographic. On the one hand, if you look at all viewership, Univision is the fourth-ranked network after ABC, NBC, and CBS, but ahead of Fox. But if you look at ages 18 to 49, which is the demographic that advertisers appeal to the most, Univision is actually the number one broadcast network in the United States, number one in the U.S. And that is an illustration of the dramatic shift in the population. At Latino Decisions, we poll a lot on people's media consumption. And remember that among U.S. citizens who are registered to vote, about 70% of them are English dominant. About 30% of them are Spanish dominant. Many, many more are bilingual, but about 30% of those choose to answer questions in Spanish, about 70% in English. But over two-thirds of our respondents watch at least some news and entertainment programming on Spanish language television and radio.
So wait, let me just repeat those numbers, make sure I got it right. You said that the vast majority of the people you poll answered the questions in English, but about two-thirds consume media in Spanish as well. Is that it?
That's correct. That is correct. And so what makes Latinos as a population distinct from previous waves of immigrants is not that they won't learn English, which is a myth and a slur and not true. Latinos acquire English at about the same rate as Southern and Eastern Europeans did in the late 19th, early 20th century. The difference is that they lose Spanish more slowly, and partially that's because of the continued migration from Latin America. So the result is that about two-thirds of Latino registered voters, these are the most assimilated, most secure members of our community, still tune into Univision or Telemundo some significant amount of time each week.
I think it's also worth noting that ABC News and Univision have a new cable network together called Fusion, which is based in the Miami area. And part of the logic behind the name is that it could be said in both English and Spanish, Fusion or Fusion, so that some of that melding has already begun to happen. Let's get to a few calls before we run out of time in this half hour. 866-733-6786, beginning with Billy in San Francisco. Billy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for receiving our call, and thank you for the topic. I think it's really terrific that we're talking about the largest population in California.
Absolutely. What's on your mind, Billy?
Well, I wanted to say that the reason Latinos don't vote is because they don't understand the vote. It's never been, they've never been addressed in their own language. And also, I've been here for a really long time. I'm an immigrant. My father's an immigrant. I've been here for 50 years. And we are here. We're not here to abuse the welfare system like a lot of people think. And I really resent the fact that when they find out that, oh, yeah, you're Hispanic, you must be a housekeeper, or you must be somebody that cleans or does lawns or something, that's really inadequate for us. We're very intelligent people, and we're here to make better lives for ourselves, and that we're truly Republicans, but we don't understand the party because they've never understood us and they've never understood how to approach us. But all we want is jobs, and we want to give our children a better life than we've had in our countries. And really what we are is we're political refugees, because in our countries we have not been respected as human beings. And I think that that's why we love this country, because it does, we have human rights, most of all. And also, I approached Pete Wilson on this, and I told him, before you run for president, make sure that the Latino population knows that you care about them and that you do mean well for them.
You mean former California Governor Pete Wilson?
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Billy, I think you make some good points. Thank you for chiming in on that, and thank you for making the point about the ideas of wanting a greater opportunity. Let's continue on the phones now with Gabriel in San Francisco. Gabriel, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I worked at voting polls for the last two elections, and the last primary, it was so disappointing to see that not any, that it was a very, very little Latino voters. And I think one of the reasons for that is that the major news media have not concentrated in educating the people on their civic rights about what the vote really means. I get on the bus and hear people complain about, oh, we're not getting this, we're not getting that. And people just frankly don't vote. Now, the Republicans, this lady, the previous caller said that that we are truly Republicans. We are not Republicans. We have two candidates for the Republican Party who have Hispanic last names and who oppose everything that immigration, everything that has to do with Latinos. They are not representative of the Latino community. Those two people are wrong. And what we need is to be educated, to educate people more. I don't hear in the news media and the news programming for Univision, for the local the talk shows, they don't even talk about voting. They don't even talk about civic duty. You know, in the 1986 amnesty program, a lot of those people are not participating. They're not exercising their civic duty.
Right. Hey, Gabriel, I'm sorry to cut you short, Gabriel. I got to keep moving other calls, but I appreciate the point that you're making in terms of educating, and thank you very much for the call. In terms of educating people on their civic duty, I would suggest maybe listening to more KQED, if that's a concern of yours, because we do try to do that. But I do take your point, and I think that Hector Barajas, I think that's something worth addressing, particularly with Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. You know, Marco Rubio is a Florida politician, and I think that there are people who would really disagree with Gabriel in South Florida, who would say Marco Rubio absolutely speaks for us, and Jeb Bush also understands the Latino community in Florida. Now, maybe it's different from the community in California, but again, Latino voters are not a monolith, so I wonder how you see that dichotomy.
Well, and it's true, and I don't think, the truth is, no one is born a Republican or a Democrat. A lot of, you know, our political affiliation comes from our parents, areas we live in. But at the same time, you know, and this is a piece I'm working on right now, it's the sleeping giant seems to awaken every 4 years. And the next arrival is expected in 2016. And part of it is, you know, there's questions, as Gabriel noted, you know, limited English proficiency with certain individuals. But at the same time, it's the campaigns themselves and the party itself. You know, campaign dollars are limited, and so the campaigns make the decision of who they're going to communicate to, and oftentimes their choice is to broadcast it all in English language. And as Professor Segura noted, you know, when they ignore communicating in Spanish itself, then you're leaving a large segment of the population. And for a lot of Latinos, if they're not aware of the issue, not really aware of the candidate, what significance that it has back in their community, they don't get themselves involved. And so they just kind of go along with their day. And
yeah.
That's part of the process that falls back on the party officials. And you are right. They've got to listen to programs like yours to be able to get themselves informed.
Let me get back to a few more comments before we run out of time at the bottom of the hour. Paul wrote to us on Facebook, given the low voter turnout among all eligible voters, is this really the question that matters? Is there evidence to show that Hispanics are particularly losing out because of their voting habits? I mean, who isn't frustrated with government, at least to some extent? Professor Segura, what do you know about that?
Yeah, so I would say three things in response to everything that's gone down. The first is that voter turnout does vary dramatically by community. Voter registration rates among African Americans and whites are around 80%. Voter registration among Latinos is around 65%. So those are differences that matter. The same thing happens when we get to turnout of registered voters. Turnout is above 80%, closer to 85% of registered voters among African Americans and whites, and it's closer to 60% among Latinos. And so when you multiply those things out, you end up with about 60%, 65% of all eligible whites and blacks voting, and only about 40 or maybe under 50% of all eligible Latinos voting, and that's very costly politically.
Right.
I will say, though, that in response to the two other comments that have preceded this, first, there's absolutely no evidence that Latinos are a majority Republican community. I'm sorry for your first caller. She's just completely in error. Latinos overwhelmingly favor an active government that solves problems. Latinos favor raising the minimum wage. Latinos favor the Affordable Care Act. Latinos are concerned about climate change. There's just simply no evidence that that's an innately Republican constituency. And those claims are mythological. But sort of echoing Hector's earlier comment about party engagement, I agree 100%, and actually that's a bipartisan failure. If you look at the data on contact by candidates and parties to try to get people registered and turned out to vote, Asian Americans and Latinos are contacted far less frequently than African Americans and whites, and that's been true for 20 years. So Latinos are an under-mobilized group, and both parties really have a responsibility here.
I wonder, Hector, if I could get a 20-second response from you, and I have to ask you about this. Since the conversation has kind of drifted toward California's Latinos in politics, what do you make of Donald Trump and all the trouble he's been in?
I think I've actually had friends who ask me if I can order some piñatas for Donald Trump because they want to use them at their next party. So if you want one, I've got five that are coming in for me. So it is an absolute joke.
Yeah, I no comment on the piñatas, but we'll keep one for historical journalistic purposes. That was Republican consultant Hector Barajas, co-founder of Grow Elect. Hector, thanks for talking to us.
It's a pleasure, Josh.
And Professor Gary Segura of Stanford University. Professor Segura, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Time now for a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears to an act of vandalism in San Francisco's Mission District, a mural depicting LGBT Latinos that was defaced for the fourth time. We'll get to that after the break. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you today. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.